Going. Recording starting. Good stuff. My name is Caleb.
I'm Julia.
And we're excited to be talking about transformative Bible study tonight. And so that's the title of today's lesson, transformative Bible study. And transformative is just a fancy word that means to cause a marked change in something or someone. And transformation is so important, right? Even just in life. Like, what if you were the same person you were 15 years ago, right? The same height, the same knowledge you had, the same level of maturity. What if you never changed? Well, this is Julie and I. Sorry for the technical difficulties. This is Julie and I around 15 years ago. We'd still look like this if nothing else changed physically, right? That would be a little weird going to college looking like this. 3'5", whatever I am. That'd be crazy. But transformation is so important physically, but also spiritually. And so our first point for tonight is a heart to transform. We need transformation. In the same way we need physical transformation, God calls us to have a spiritual transformation. As disciples, we should be growing in Christ. We can't continue to be infants. But what happens when we continue to stay stagnant in Christ? What happens when we don't transform from being infants? Well, you'll be tossed back and forth by the waves, swayed by different teachings and deceitful schemes, as it says in Ephesians 4, verse 14. You'll become people who are still worldly. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. You'll continue to live on milk and won't be acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. It says that in Hebrews 5, verse 13. Right? These are serious things, right, that the Bible teaches about continuing to be an infant in Christ. And you won't survive very long if you don't continue to mature. It's not acceptable to stay stagnant. I know in Revelation 3, through a vision of John, Jesus addresses the church in Laodicea and calls them out for being stagnant and passive. So let's read that really quick. In Revelation 3, starting in verse 15, Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. We'll stop there. But here, Jesus heavily criticizes the church for being arrogant and apathetic. They are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. They are not passionate about the gospel. Rather, they're passive, right? They claim that they're fine on their own and that they don't need a thing, but in reality, they're in major need of God, right? Lukewarm water is not refreshing to drink at all. I remember being at Gigi's the other day. It was so hot, the 4th of July, so hot. If I had lukewarm water, I would spit it out too. You want cold water, right? Or hot water has use for it too, right? They're cold or hot. They have specific uses for each one of them. But being lukewarm, right, is pretty useless. Have you ever been in a group project? I know I have. A group project where some of the other students don't really pull their weight, right? They're kind of just there and they go through the motions. They want to get the grade, right? But they don't do any of the work to get there. They're just kind of there, but useless, right? Well, I used to be one of those people, actually. I remember in engineering, there's a group project I wasn't really interested in. And basically, one of the girls in my group called me out for it. She was like, Caleb, what have you even done? I was like, actually, yeah, you're right. What have I done? But I was one of these people. You can be mad at me if you want, but I was one of these people. And it was partially because I wasn't really passionate about the subject. I didn't really care too much about the group, to be honest. They weren't really my friends. And I also didn't care too much about what the professor thought of me. I wanted to quit engineering anyway. But in the same way, you don't want to be useless in the church. You don't want to be lukewarm and passive in a church that's trying to be on fire, trying to be hot for God, right? You don't want to bring the temperature down. But guys, this is what happens if you continue to stay infants or stay stagnant in the faith. We become apathetic and passive by not seeing our need to transform. We're basically telling God that we don't need a thing, that we're already grown to full maturity in Christ. But that's not true, right? We're all in need of transformation. There's always something to grow in because nobody is perfect, right? And God doesn't call us to be perfect. He calls us to grow and mature in Christ. I'm going to hand it over to Julia.
Thanks, Caleb, for all of that. You know, in all my years as a disciple, I've seen how I've approached my desires to be transformed by God's word in my teens and now through my adulthood, and even just looking at where my heart was at through all of that. You could describe me as the what's next type of girl, you know, going through my times with God in his word and reading through it and asking myself, okay, well, what's next? You know, asking myself, what do I want to learn more? What do I need to grow in to get through things in order to just get through something? Just questions like that. And I think even if I was going through a lot, I would ask myself, well, Julia, what do we need to do in order to get through this? What do I need to read? What specific things in the Bible do I need to learn and do? Or even if I wasn't going through as much things and I wasn't struggling or stuff like that, and I would still come to ask myself, like, well, what do I need to do now in order to get through whatever it is I was trying to get through? And from how I've explained some of my mindset and questions and the questions I would ask myself back then, I think you could see that for me, it wasn't really a mindset to be transformed, but to get through, quote unquote, right? Whatever it was that I needed to get through. And I sought to simply just inform myself, which was to just learn facts and information, and didn't go the step further to allow myself to be transformed, right? To make a thorough or dramatic change within myself spiritually, and didn't allow myself to be transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 to 18. You know, and with that mindset of just trying to get through things, soon enough, I reached a point where in my life, I didn't want to get through things anymore. And I didn't want to have to read or learn the things I needed to get through life. I didn't want to learn or do nothing. There was one summer in my life where it felt like everything was kind of crumbling down and falling apart. And for me, needing to kind of be transformed by it. But because of that mindset that I've already conditioned myself through with the habits of reading through the Bible in a get through mindset, it soon failed. It soon fell apart. You know, at that summer, it seemed like I was just losing all my friendships. There were a lot of hard transitions to get through, and my mental health was not at its best. And to top it all off, at that time, like, my dad had recently gotten diagnosed with cancer. And so safe to say that that summer was a lot. And in really just observing and reflecting on how I conditioned my mindset in all these things, I did not set myself up to be able to be truly transformed by the things that God was presenting in my life. I realized that I wasn't going through these things with in the right way, and my heart in approaching these things were completely wrong, and it wasn't in a way that was lasting or transformative. And for me, in my experience in trying to be transformed by God's word, it wasn't until I intentionally sought to understand, okay, well, what is God's purpose and desire for transformation in my life, and how does the Bible apply to all of that? You could turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, it says, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We received all of this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So the goal and desire of spiritual transformation, God's goal and desire is for us to grow more and more to be Christ-like in order to, it says in the scripture, share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption. It also says in the scripture that because of his great and precious promises, are we able to have this opportunity to be transformed. You know, transformation, being able to change from the spiritual baby Julia to who I am now, still being transformed, is a gift that God has given to us so that we can share in his divine nature and again, escape the world's deceitfulness. And I had to ask myself, like, do I really believe that? Because if I did, I would be acting and approaching all these things in my life differently. I would approach and read the Bible from a different lens of believing that the transformation is a gift that we are able to have to be more Christ-like. So for you guys, do you truly see transformation as a gift, as an opportunity to change from our old selves back into Christ? Because for me, it wasn't until I chose to believe this and not only just letting myself believe it, but letting myself be transformed by it. And this is the heart we need to have behind desiring transformative Bible study, not just to get through something to survive, or just having the get through mindset, but to view transformation as a gift and the opportunity to put off our old selves, as it says in Ephesians 4 verses 20 to 24. So I'm going to pass it back to Caleb for the next point.
Thanks, Julia, for sharing from your life and giving us some amazing insights into why transformation is so important. But for our next point, we're going to talk about transformative thinking. And because now we know why it's important to grow and mature in Christ, but how do we actually transform? Let's look at a scripture that's familiar to all of you, but in Romans 12, verse 2. Probably we've read this a bunch of times. But it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We'll stop there. We talked about before that if we continue to be infants in Christ, we'll slowly become people who are still worldly, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, and we'll conform to the world. And this scripture that we just read warns us about the exact same thing. It's reminding us not to conform to the world, and it calls us to be transformed, to grow up in Christ. But how do we do that? Right? How do we do that? That's the magical question. It says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? This renewing of our mind is what we call repentance, right? Repentance is translated from the Greek word metanoia, which means mind transformation or a change in mindset. If we want to transform, we need to go after repentance. We need to renew our minds. And the best tool that we can use to help us transform is the Bible. Right? It's the only tool precise enough to accurately analyze ourselves. The Bible, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it is inspired by God and useful for training in righteousness, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, and it builds noble character, as we see from the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 10. We'll actually read that right now. Verse 11, it says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, but they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. We'll stop there. But transformation, it won't happen instantly. It happens gradually. It comes from consistency and eagerness, as we see here. They read the Bible every single day. But I wanted to ask you guys, are you examining the scriptures every single day, like the Berean Jews were? Because that's where you're going to see most of your transformation. It's through that consistency, through that eagerness. If you're digging into the word every day with the mindset that you want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you're definitely going to grow. But I'm going to hand it over now to Julia to explain some practical ways to dig into the word and have that mindset to grow as well.
Sweet. So I love the fact that Caleb said that transformation itself is a process that requires consistency and eagerness, right? It takes consistency and endurance in order to thoroughly and dramatically change in a spiritual way and in general too. Even in some of the scriptures that were already read, it talks about how we as spiritual babies, or yeah, babies spiritually, start off with food. We start off specifically with milk. And at that point in our spiritual lives, you need the nutrients that come with milk. And one of the scriptures talk about how we weren't even ready for solid food. So in this journey of transformation, as we dive deeper into the Bible, it requires us to read for the next, to be ready for the next type of food, spiritual food, by being solid on the food we already have access to. I'm saying food a lot. It might make you guys hungry because I'm already starting to get hungry. But basically, we can't learn to chew on solid food if we only know how to manage milk. And it works in a step-by-step process, and they all work hand in hand with each other. But sometimes for me personally, as I try to go about reading my Bible and trying to be transformed by it, I get stuck on the step before transformative thinking, which is understanding. And I don't know if you guys can relate, but sometimes when I'm reading and having my time with God in the morning, I could find myself reading and reading, and halfway through, I forget to understand what I'm reading. I'm reading it multiple times and somehow kind of like forget to turn off like an understanding switch, and I have to reread the passage all over again. And sometimes it kind of like repeats itself, and I have to reread it like 5 times in order to kind of not just read it, but understand and learn how to apply what I'm reading. And for that specific situation, whether it's because maybe I woke up too early and didn't give myself enough time to wake up, or the text itself is heavy, or maybe my mind isn't just ready for me to think, I can get confused as to what I'm reading. And for those of you who can relate, whether it's not one of the situations, I think for me, I learned how to transformatively think through reading the Bible in a step-by-step process that I recently learned from being at MTP, ministry training program at camp, that broke down how to really approach the Bible in 4 different parts. So it's not said specifically on the slides, but it's called Lectio Divina. And it's a way of reading the Bible in a spiritual conversation, reading and having a conversation with the word and the writer. The first part is Lectio, which is reading the scripture, just simply reading it. And it's encouraged to read it through multiple translations slowly. And then the next broken down part is Meditatio, and it's to meditate on the text. And this is the part where you get to see a little deeper as to what the text means for you personally. You get to visualize the text and kind of, you know, Meditatio, you could kind of grab the word meditating from that, and just being able to meditate on the concept of the passage that you are reading in the scripture. And Oratorio, meaning prayer, to talk about it with God, talk about the text, or literally pray the text. You know, certain parts of the Bible is meant to be spoken out loud, and it's meant to be taken some time to say it out loud and hear it in a way that we won't be able to understand unless we hear it out loud. We won't be able to understand it in a way versus just simply reading it. And so taking some time to meditate and pray on it. And contemplatio is contemplation. You know, this is the action part in our lives where we get to ask ourselves, well, how does this text apply to my life? in what specific ways can I live out what I'm currently reading? And just kind of being able to contemplate and ask yourself, okay, how do I apply this and what will I do moving forward? So I'm going to pass it back to Caleb for the third point.
Sweet. Thanks for sharing. I'm going to dive into our next point. But beyond asking yourself those reflective questions, there are other ways to dig deeper into the scriptures even more. And our third point is just the title of the lesson, which is transformative Bible study. This is going to be a super practical point. I'm going to go through a lot of practicals. But first, I'm going to share from my life. Most of you know I play violin. I've been playing since fourth grade. And I remember when I first started learning violin, it honestly sounded terrible. It sounded like a squealing cat or something. Something was dying or something like that. I don't know. But it was difficult for me to play basic notes that sounded half decent. And then I remember being in my high school orchestra. And over the years, I had learned many different techniques that helped me make beautiful music. And sometimes I'd even get bored if the music we were playing was too easy for me, or I'd especially get bored if we kept playing the same piece over and over. That just really bored me. And that's when my orchestra teacher, his name is Mr. Nix, he told me to dig a little deeper. He was like, why don't you study out music theory? Look into why these chords have pleasant and satisfying, they're pleasant and satisfying to listen to, while others are less pleasant to listen to. Look into that. Look into who wrote each piece and what they wrote it for. Right? And this is how I get, you know, the most out of each piece. And he was telling me all that. And I was like, you know what, why not? I'll study that out because this is too easy for me right now. And after studying out more music theory, I started to really appreciate the music I was playing way more. And I was honestly way more enthusiastic and passionate about what I was playing too. And in the same way, when we are first studying the Bible, everything is new to us. It's easy to get a lot out of any scripture we read because we've never seen it before. It's like, oh my gosh, this is eye-opening. But as we continue to grow in the faith and begin to get more familiar with scripture, it can be easy to feel like, oh, I know it all. Like, I've read this 1,000 times, and it's easy to become bored with it. But how deep have you been digging for real? In this point, we're going to dive into some super practical ways to get even more out of your Bible study. The Bible is a super complex compilation of 66 books written by 40 different authors in different situations and contexts. And so the first thing you can really look for and research with any scripture reading is historical context, right? Who wrote the text? Who did they write the text for and why? Historically, what's going on at the time, right? These are good questions to ask and good things to research for any scripture you're reading, really. But let's try digging into the historical context of one of the scriptures we already read tonight. Let's turn back to that scripture in Revelation 3, starting in verse 15. I'll put it on the screen. Let's read it again. Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. All right, we'll stop there. But we've already read this once tonight. And we got a lot out of it, right, in that first point, with minimal context, right? All we know is that Jesus is addressing a church in Laodicea through John's vision, and he calls them out for being lukewarm, right? And we got a lot out of that. But let's dig a little deeper here. Who is Jesus saying this to, and why? Right? That's one of the questions. The church in Laodicea, let's look more into the historical context here. I did about not too much research, like 10 minutes of research, and found all this pretty quickly. So you guys could definitely do it too. But Laodicea was an ancient city in Asia Minor. That was an important road junction, right? But it lacked a lot of natural water supply. because there were no springs nearby, so it had no water. And the nearest river dries up in the summer. But they used stone pipes to get water from a source south of the city. And I found that on a website, right? BibleStudyTools.com. And so I put that in. But that gives a lot more insight into why Jesus used this lukewarm illustration, right? Because a lot of the water they're drinking was probably lukewarm, literally, because they're getting water from the pipes from another city. And so that brings a lot more insight into that. But I also found that Laodicea was an important commercial, educational, and administrative center whose citizens were very secure and prosperous. And I found that on a website called studylight.org. And this gives more insight into verse 17, right? These people were rich in material goods, but they didn't know that spiritually they were poor, blind, and naked. Jesus is warning them not to rely on material things, but to rely on him. So right there, that was just 10 minutes of research that I did. But you have a lot more insight into what's going on here when Jesus is talking to this church. So you can see how beneficial it is to research historical context. It can bring a lot more insight, and it brings deeper meaning into the text. But another thing you can do to really take into account is to pay close attention of the genre of the book you're reading. The Bible is made up of many different genres of writing, right? And I'm going to go into a few of them. I think I have 8 of them total that you can keep in mind. But the Bible is broken up into historical narrative, which is basically scripture that gives factual retellings of real events, which is like some examples are Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, etc. And then there's law, right? This is God's law. And these are scriptures that outline God's commands, right? You see a lot of it in Leviticus, some of Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But then there's wisdom literature. And this is scripture that reveals a collection of wisdom from generations of godly people. And we mostly read a lot of the Proverbs, right? And you're probably familiar with Proverbs. Some of Job, Ecclesiastes, these are different examples of wisdom literature. Then there's poetry, scripture written in verse that usually is full of symbolic language, metaphors, word pictures, and expressions of feelings. Right? That's poetry. And some examples of this are Psalms, right? Song of Solomon's and Lamentations. Those are some examples. And then there's apocalyptic literature, which is scripture that describes what the end times will be like. Some examples of this are parts of Isaiah, parts of Jeremiah, Revelation. And then there's prophecy, right? Scripture that recounts visions or specific messages from God about the future. Some examples are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Jonah, Micah. And then there are the Gospels, right? You guys know what the Gospels are, but it's scripture that includes eyewitness testimonies about the life of Jesus. And there are 4 Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the epistles. This is basically just letters, right? Scripture's written in the form of a letter. And we see a lot of the letters from Paul in the New Testament. But some examples are Romans, the Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, etc. But some books intersect between different genres, right? For example, the Gospels are historical narratives, right? But they're special, right? They're about Jesus. But, you know, going through and reflecting on, okay, what am I reading? It really helps to understand the genre you're reading, because you might study each one a little differently, right? The epistles or law might give you more direct teachings or commands, right? But historical narrative gives you a story, right? And you might have to pull directives from that. For example, let's say I'm trying to work on my gratitude, and I'm being a little, you know, I want more. I'm being a little selfish. I'm trying to work on my gratitude, being more grateful. And I decided to read this scripture in Psalm 77. So let's turn to Psalm 77. What does it say? I'll just read it first, but it says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I'll consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. We'll stop there. But first, if I was really reflecting on this, and you know, I know I'm trying to work on gratitude, right? I'd reflect on this and be like, okay, this is poetry, right? There are no actual directives here. There's no narrative going on, but I just want to focus on, okay, what's the heart behind this, right? What is David, you know, what is David saying here? And he's saying he wants to remember what God did for him, right? And so for me, I can take from that, okay, why don't I try to remember what God has done for me, right? And that's just a short example of, okay, how I might break the scripture down in a quiet time or something like that. But as we close the lesson tonight, I just want to reiterate that transformation doesn't happen overnight. It requires a lot of consistency and perseverance to mature in Christ. And it takes a lot of intentionality to dig deeper into the Bible, like I just showed you. It takes being intentional, right? It takes maybe going through a few websites to try to find stuff. And I know we focus more on Bible study for this lesson, but spiritual books, podcasts, and commentaries are all great resources to supplement your Bible study. If you want any of those resources, you can definitely reach out to me or Julia after the lesson. But I wanted to end with a few reflection questions that you guys could be thinking about as we end the lesson here. But the first one is, what is an area of your life that you'd like to transform? What would you like to grow in? The second one is, are you currently reading the Bible just for information? Are you reading it with the goal to grow? And then the third question is, what is one Bible reading technique you heard tonight that you'd like to implement in your own Bible study? But that's all we have for tonight. Thank you so much for having us speak today.